What the hell, boy? What's that you eating?
Just a little weed edible, a little brownie.
A weed edible? Let me get a piece of that.
We eat it too fast. It's going to fuck you up in a minute.
Fuck me up. You sound dumb as hell. I'm going to eat this whole thing.
Listen to me, big fella. Slow down.
You been good, too. You did it wrong.
You going to be high as hell.
I'm not going to be high, boy. I'm just good as hell, boy. What are you talking about?
Oh, I can't feel a thing. Thought I was good. That shit kicked in out of nowhere.
I told you gonna be high as hell. You stiff as hell.
Wise boy talking to me. I'm finna die.
I'm finna go up here and see what God talking about. I couldn't move if I wanted to.
Got my mouth open. I'm finna start slobbing and shit.
Damn, I bet I look dumb as hell. Why I eat that shit in the first place? It wasn't even that good. Somebody help me, please. I'm finna die.
Better start cranking these out faster. I think our days are counting down officially. As I see Trump playing hardball, last dance with North Korea, put a final memo out there for them. Guys, don't fuck with me. I am not playing with you guys anymore, and just know that I'm going to bring it. I was like, okay, that's I guess we're getting near the end, because, you know, North Korea is trying to play that role. Little fat kid. He looks like a fat kid cake. You know? Like, he looks like he needs, like, he just ate a little too much cake. Like, he just looks so adorable. What's his name? Kim Jong-il? I don't know. But, yeah, he looks like the dad. He looks like the dad of Spider-Man sidekick in Spider-Man Homecoming. Hey, that can go saying it's his dad, you know? I wonder how he lives his life. Like, does he have a wife? Does he have, like, multiple wives? What's that religion they do over there? I don't know. That'll be interesting to see how a dictator like him does this thing. And it's crazy, right, how you have a dictator like that, and his country is so impoverished. And he doesn't give a fuck. Like, he quite frankly doesn't give a fuck about his people. Like, he's like, you know what? Let them fucking starve. Let them do what they want. We're poor. You know, I'm not going to negotiate with anyone. I'm just going to build my nukes. Get the fuck out. It's a very weird way of living, of not being good to the people that you serve and that you govern. But that's power for you. I mean, that's something that you see in Game of Thrones, and it's something that you will see throughout time. It's the manifestation of power and desire of it. It kind of shapes itself in different ways, and it's just channeled differently by different regions of the world. So it seems like that guy, King Jong, just loves it. And he's like, fuck everybody else. I got it. And that's that. So I think fireworks are going to fly. I remember Saddam Hussein doing the same thing back in the 90s. And when they went in, finally went to war, and we're thinking, okay, this is it. All that big talk ended up being shit. We ran through that guy. So I think that's going to be a very fascinating ordeal if it does happen, because now Trump is drawing the line in the sand, and Kim Jong likes to keep stepping over that line. Like, yeah, go, come on, buddy. Punch me. Let's get this on. So we're going to see how it all turns out, but hopefully they don't hit Florida. Hopefully they don't hit anywhere, to be honest with you. And they've been testing enough weapons over there to see what the damage is going to be. But I hope none of it happens. I just hope it's a big smoke and mirrors, man. I hope so. I don't want to be, hiding out in the bunkers or be exposed to radioactive shit. Fact, there goes my life. I mean, that's not the way I wanted to go out, but, you know, you can't control that, right? Anyways, I wanted to talk about a little bit of the contrasting vices that we have in this country now that weed has become more prevalent. Growing up, there was a big battle on drugs. It was something that I believe Reagan started, and back in the 80s, and Bush and all the other presidents continued. And it was very evident that that war on drugs wasn't coming to an end anytime soon. It was something that just kept going, kept getting stronger. It was something that just manifested, and from one place that they cut it off, three other heads grew and expanded and found different ways of getting the product here and getting it to people. And people are still using it when it comes to the drugs. And prohibition was just no different. You know, back in the 20s, it was something that they did. Actually, prohibition from, listening to podcasts and documentaries in particular, I know that Prohibition was the reason of the rise of the mafias and the rise of jazz music and the black culture, because as crazy as that sounds, because when you limit something to the people, like drinking, so what happened was the mafia, well, they created a business out of it. The Irish and the Italians, they went and said, okay, let's create a business out of this because something that's popular. And obviously the drinking was done in underground clubs. And then they had the music, and that's when you had jazz musicians, and that's when all these different types of things were created, all because of the prohibition of alcohol that was created by the Ku Klux Klan. And here we are, the same thing has happened. I mean, you try to have the prohibition of drugs, and it's allowed for a manifestation of people making lots of money off it and being successful, and it never ends. That's the one thing about the drug game, is that you can go ahead and knock down the biggest drug dealers and the bosses of these organizations. It's still going to keep going, because for the people that are left over that are not caught, they pick up the pieces. They pick up the baton, and they keep moving it forward. And, I mean, that's not. I mean, why wouldn't they? Right? I mean, why wouldn't they pick up on an enterprise that makes them millions and millions of dollars a day, and they already know it, and the benefits and the perks that comes with it? Now, granted, it's all short-sighted, but when you're in those environments, the money's just too good to turn back around from an ethical standpoint. So, but when the United States government decided to wage a war, and here we are 30 years later, it hasn't worked. We're still having an issue with drugs, kids doing it, having more access to it, especially with the internet. You have access to everything and anything. And I think that now with marijuana, we've come to a point that we understand that, hey, okay, you know, the studies have come out that other than smoking it at an early stage, which stunts your brain growth, which you don't want to do because you want to allow for that brain to mature. I believe brain maturity ends in the mid-20s, I'm pretty sure. Excuse me. And so when we talk about weed, it's something that obviously you don't want your kids doing when they're young, but at a later stage, once you mature, then it should be something that adults should do. And obviously many other states and the people have decided as such. But I know for others, I have friends that totally disagree with it. They feel it's the gateway drug. They feel that it doesn't have any positive health effects. Maybe it doesn't, but there's nothing that we currently take in moderation. And I've spoken about this before. I mean, cigarettes are not good for you. They're out there, legalized and taxed. Alcohol. How many people you know just have one drink when they have a drink? Just one drink a day. They don't. They go ahead and keep taking shots after shots, or keep taking drinks after drinks. Next thing you know, they have diabetes. Next thing you know, they're dealing with, you know, liver issues, liver fibrosis, and then it leads to liver cancer. So it's one of those things. You know, personally, I've never dabbled in it because I know growing up, I saw all of that. I saw drinking. I saw at a very early age. And what I mean by that, before the age of 9, I saw lots of drinking, lots of drugs and the usage and abuse of it. And when you are seeing all these things and you realize, well, that's not the route I want to go. That's what I said in my head. I said, well, I don't think those things are good for me. Doesn't seem like it's the way to go. I guess I got to stay the school route. I don't know where it's going to take me, but we got to stay clear of that shit. You know, when you're seeing people get up in the morning drinking, when you see people just hooked on the drugs. And I grew up in the crack 80s where people were just superhuman when it came to desiring that crack. And when they were on it, they were unbeatable. They ran. They did things. I remember one time a drug dealer will make a crackhead do like stunts, like a court jester. Just make him do things so that he'll give him like a free piece. And they fucking did anything. It was crazy. Just the addiction was real serious. And you saw that. And I always say to myself, well, I don't want to open doors that I can't close. And I did that all throughout college until I graduated college. Then after that, I started experimenting a little bit with alcohol and then weed. But that's as far as I got, because it wasn't, part of my life, so it was something I felt I needed. But I could see the benefits of it for people. As far as I know, weed got me paranoid, and that was that. I don't know how people do it. Either that or it gets me sleepy. Those are the two effects of it. Drinking, it got a lot of anger out of me initially. Like, but as I've got more drinking and got used to it, experienced it, then now I'm more mellow. Like now it's a aspect of it that I'm real chill. Like I don't, my personality doesn't change much from sober to drunk. But that's something that took trial and error, because in the beginning I was, the anger came out. The Incredible Hulk, as I like to say. Because I do have an anger streak in me, but as I'm getting old, I'm learning how to suppress it and not to even dabble in that shit. Happy music all day long. But I feel that with drugs and alcohol, I think we all need to legalize it. I think that, you know, I mentioned that before with Coach Hugh Freeze with prostitution. I don't understand why the stigma's there. I remember growing up listening to the Beatles and Elvis, even though I didn't grow up to them, the music was something that I was able to listen to. And I remember the older people saying, man, this was the devil's music. This was something that we really hated, and we thought it was so evil. And here we are, and we're worshiping those people, and they're in the Hall of Fame doing good things. Now, it was positive for the movement of our society and pop culture. And that's no different. You know, when we talk about alcohol, when we talk about drugs, I think that the stigma that it had 20, 30 years ago is different now. I think we understand it. It doesn't impede you. It doesn't make you do crazy things. You know, you shouldn't be doing it while you're driving. You shouldn't be doing it if you're not trying to make sound decisions. You should be around people that are, you know, that you trust and you're comfortable with them to help you out if something does happen. But as far as being recreational and doing it out there with random strangers, I wouldn't do it, especially if you're a girl. I think you got to be mindful of your surroundings. That's one thing that I will always tell Jazz, and I will tell anybody, any girl, that it's okay to have fun. It's okay, but you got to be mindful of your surroundings, because if you're at a club drinking and you're overdoing it, you better make sure you have somebody you fully trust to take care of you, because you have predators out there. The Bill Cosbys are out there. Darren Sharpers. Those are people that use the Q drug, whatever that drug is that they drug people. I mean, I don't understand how even people do that. Like, how much of a lowlife do you have to be to drug women to fuck them? Like, they're already drinking. Like, that's half the battle. I know I can go out there and drink and meet a girl and hook up. Not every night, but I know that if I go out for a whole month, I will meet someone and hang out and, you know, be able to see them the next day or the following weekend and have fun. Because we're drinking, we're letting loose, and people are just more casual and open to meeting new people, you know? But I don't understand the guys that are in that mode of, I'm going to drug rape you and take you home and forget. I don't know how they get off on that. Like, that's no excitement for me. Like, there's more excitement and enjoyment when a girl is drinking, she's let loose, and she finds me hot and attractive, and we mutually want to get it on. Now, I don't want her passing out. That's one thing. You know, I try to be mindful of finding if a girl's overdoing it, like where she's like, you look at her eyes and she's just spinning all over the place. Yeah, no, this is going to not end well. I'm going to be holding her head while she's throwing up. So you got to be mindful of your surroundings when you're doing drugs and alcohol. And I wouldn't suggest anything further, because I think like cocaine and heroin and meth, those things are chemically created. I don't think it's something that you want to dabble in, because I think when you fuck with your brain, even mollies and shit like that, like I wouldn't fuck with any of that, because those things do permanent damage to your brain. I mean, like I said, weed does it as well. It stunts your growth, but after you mature, in a recreational basis, it's not gonna, from the studies that I've read anyway, it says that, you know, you're fine with it. It's just something, it's just like anything in life. It's just overconsumption. Too much of anything. If I drink too much of Coke, if I drink too much of, you know, Gatorade, it's not going to be good for me, good for my liver. So you have to be mindful of the things you do. And I think with weed, I think it's fine nowadays. I think it's something that we should be allowed to do. I mean, kudos. Just legalize it and tax it. Because if grown adults are going to do what they want to do, I still, and if you have an issue with it because of your moral compass, then you have to understand that times change. You know, rap music is not the same now as it was 20 years ago. You know, there's different things that you find offensive now that weren't offensive back then, and vice versa. You know, things that were offensive back then that are not offensive now. And we have to be mindful of the times. You can't be a grumpy old man, you know, standing in the back of my day. And I refuse to be that. And I'm not trying to go through a midlife crisis or anything. You know, I appreciate the past. I love it. But there's also great things about the times that we're in right now, especially with technology and the music. Yeah, you know, does rap sounds like nursery rhymes? Sure. You know, does but you have EDM. You have great music that's being created originally. And you have the concerts. And you have the creativity. It's really awesome to see and to enjoy. And you just got to just take that snapshot in time. This is a snippet. And things will change 20 years from now, and you got to enjoy it. So I just think that when it comes to, you know, drugs and all these things that we frowned upon before, we have to just now have a clearer view and just to let the studies show, because kids are still going to do it. They're going to be exposed to it. And now with the power of the internet, they're going to be more knowledgeable about drugs and the use of them and the effects than we are, than we ever were. So knowledge is power, and enabling having these talks, you know, and that's the thing about my daughter. I'm going to have a talk with her. I mean, as far as it could be as early as sixth grade, because I remember I was exposed to that shit that early. I was exposed to it, gosh, I want to say third or fourth grade as far as, you know, drugs and all that. But as far as being more prevalent of a talk within the kids, it was around fifth to sixth grade. So I know that when my daughter starts hearing about that and I start seeing kids, I'm going to have that talk with her and be open and frank about it. And, you know, you just can't be strict about it. I'm going to put limits, in my opinion. I think we all should. But we have to do a good job in explaining the pros and cons of why you shouldn't do it and why it's not something that at this stage in life you should even think about. You know, because nothing good comes out of it. You never know if you're hooked on it. Like I said earlier, you don't want to open doors that you can't close. And drugs and alcohol are one of those that you just never know, and you got to be ready and make sure that you're in a right trajectory in life to even experiment with those things. So I don't knock anybody that does them, because obviously I dabble in drinking a little bit, and I've done weed here and there. I mean, very scarce. You know, I love the healthy lifestyle. I love what it entails. I love the challenge of it. So that's not something that I will ever have overtake my body. It's, you know, I love looking the way I do for my age, and I know doing those things in excess is not going to allow me to have a healthy way of living. So, but I don't frown upon anybody that does it. As long as you're happy and you're not hurting other people, by all means, live and let live.
Okay, finally a drinker. This finna be a breeze. Okay, got the brown over here. You see some of that white.
Bring both of them together and get liquor poison.
I ain't coming here for all that. I just came to get a couple drinks.
Ben, I need you to take 300 shots to the head.
Listen, I don't know how you drink, but I just came to sip.
Sip on the IV you finna be hooked up to, because you going to the hospital. Take the whole cup to the head. If you don't die, keep drinking. Ben, I need you to go back to the store and grab two more bottles.
Yeah, man.
Drink it till you don't know what's 1+1. Now grab that brown and drink it till you start to frown. Let us know it's nasty. Keep drinking. Then when you pissy drunk, I need you to hop in your car.